Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Coaching Conversations. This is your life coach, Sean Jakowski, and I'm here with the crew from Western Life Coaching. We have Moni Visco. Hi, Moni.
Hi.
Good to have you. I believe August Shields will not be here today, but he is here in spirit. But we also have our intern from Western Life Coaching Center, who is, I believe, recently a graduate, Caitlin. Is that true?
Hello.
Hello.
Past Saturday.
Saturday. Yay. It's a big transitioning. Maybe you can, what are your thoughts, huh? How do you feel?
I'm pretty excited. I'm still going to stay at Canisius, and I'm going to go to get my master's in applied nutrition. So, pretty excited.
And you're sticking around the area. We get to see her this summer. But yeah, kudos to you. Congratulations. Before we get rolling, our phone lines at the Western New York Life Coaching Center is 716-560-6552. After hearing this hearing, if you'd like to reach out, talk to any of the coaches from the coaching center, please reach out at that line. And you can find all our bios and information at wnylifecoaching.com. We have classes coming up, so please check online. And we're also recently upgraded our life shop on the Western Life Coaching Center, so we'll take a peek at that. Guys, you have any announcements, anything you'd like to share? Moni, I know we have something exciting to talk about, right, our new program?
Yep, our Get Real program for kids, which we're working on getting up and running really soon.
Excellent. We are piloting it this summer with the Cheektowaga Youth Camp. Can you tell them just a teeny bit about it? I usually do all the talking, so I'll let you. What's our mission?
So we're just working because we really believe in advocating for children to be the best versions of themselves, to lead happy lives. And it's so important. Well, we both feel it's so important that if they develop skills to do that at a younger age, they can carry that through into their adult lives because there is so much stress, and the stress just gets it gets worse as we get older. And if they can keep that, you know, sense of who they are and know how to cope when things are not, you know, going when the things on the outside are difficult, then they can continue to find that happiness within no matter what. So that's our passion, to teach that, yes.
So look out. We are, like I said, piloting it. Look on our website because we'll find more information. But anyone out there listening that is part of a program or part of a camp or a group that needs some empowering for the young kids, call us. That's our Get Real program. We're coming into your venue. We'll create a workshop and really help kids get in tune with themselves and find what's best for them. We totally believe in fostering inner greatness among these kiddos. So very exciting. Very exciting about that. So we're going to roll into our conversation today. Moni, you forwarded an interesting topic that I figured we can just play around with. Get the conversation going and see where it leads. And it's one that people kind of run and duck from. It's shame and vulnerability. In life coaching, in life, I see a lot of people try to avoid pain, uncomfortable situations, negativity. But as we're going to show, that sometimes within those moments of feeling such things, you can find some inner greatness. I don't know, Moni, what kind of led you to this topic?
Nothing specific other than Brene Brown is the one who really did so much research in her work, getting her PhD in social work, and I think she was doing it on courage, and it sort of turned into really the focus became on shame and vulnerability because in that to get in touch with to be vulnerable, you have to be courageous. And so that's kind of where her research went. So she's sort of the expert on it. And I saw her TED Talk, which I would recommend everybody to watch, and read her books, and I just feel like there was so much, you know, because we all have shame, and so to live with it and to hide, you know, to live, pretend like everything is great in your life is a huge burden. So if we can face that shame and if we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable, it also gives other people permission to do that also, to know that they're not alone in their pain either.
It's interesting.
When we can do that. So,
No, I think what just came. Oh,
go ahead.
No, please, Del. Please go ahead.
Your thoughts. I was just saying that.
Okay.
You finish. You talk.
The thing that really comes to me about shame that I read in what you just said is that we all do feel it. It's a human, you know, they say if you're having human connection, it is a feeling. And I'm correlating shame is almost fear, almost how we act out of, a lot of people run from it. I just had an article about someone sent something about hockey or not hockey, athletics and parents pushing their kids almost beyond where they should be pushed. And they were saying that that was fed from fear. Truly, if you look at it, you don't want, you know, one kid to be ahead of the other kid, and you don't want him not to have friends. It just, what came to me with that article and what you just said, Money, is that when you address it and you call it out, it doesn't have control anymore, you know, and you can see the other reflection of it. I don't know if that makes sense, but, you know, it just sometimes owning it is very empowering. Very empowering.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I know you were going to continue with that. Would you like to add to that?
Yeah, no. I mean, I just think that because we, you know, shame is basically that we feel like we're not enough or we're bad in some way. I mean, it could be anything. Like, I'm not good enough at my sport, or I don't look pretty enough, or my marriage is failing, or, you know, whatever. That we just feel like we're not good enough, and we want to hide that from the outside world. And so it's like working through the pain that's associated with shame, and that is what you said, is to actually feel the pain, which is the first step in overcoming it, is to say, okay, you know, I'm, like, what Brene Brown says in her book is she says, you know, she says it out loud, pain, like, acknowledging, like, oh, crap, like, I just did something, you know, maybe you sent an email to, you know, it was a reply, you replied all, and you said something really terrible about someone, or, you know what I mean, it could be something like that, and you're like, oh, crap, you know what I mean, and then you're ashamed about that, so you recognize it, which is the first step in overcoming, and then,
yeah.
I think the second step, I don't know what she said, what the article says, but what I had is to reach out to somebody who has earned the right to hear your story, because you can't put that out there to anyone, because there will be people who will slam you, and that's not what you need at a time when you're feeling ashamed. It's to reach out to someone who you trust and talk to them about it, because what she says too is that the real antidote to shame is empathy. So when you can hear, you know, listen to somebody who's empathetic of your situation, like, oh, my God, I did that too, or whatever, just even listening, that will help you, again, move to the next, you know, move to overcome it.
Mm-hmm. So, I find, you know, I'm trying to grasp it. I think what's really attracting me to this is that, you know, when you feel shameful, you do want to hide, or you don't want people in, and you don't want to be vulnerable. But, you know, personally for myself, and the moments of my most suffering is where I've gotten the most soul growth and most character content can rise above in these times. So that's what I loved about I think this article you sent us was that she said instead of seeing it as the social norm of vulnerability being kind of taboo and shame being something you should, you know, not be proud of, really those who can center and embrace themselves in the moment of shame and vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Holy
mm-hmm.
smokes, is that weakness? I don't think so. So it's just a mindset shift of it too. Caitlin, do you have anything to share with that?
Mm-hmm. I think just through learning and by experience and practicing it, it talked about it in the article, just trying to practice it like little by little and just get comfortable with the way the process of working through your shame and just started talking to people and learning what triggers you to feel that way and just sort of making yourself feel like you can feel that way, but it doesn't need to stay with you and you shouldn't feel bad about the way you feel. You should just understand why you feel that way and just take the steps to understand why you feel shameful and how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, because I think what you said is, like, after you reach out to even just the way you talk to yourself, like, instead of saying, oh, my God, I'm so stupid, or how could I be like that, or I looked terrible, you know, whatever, at that party, or whatever it is, you kind of talk to yourself in a compassionate way
mm-hmm.
about how you're feeling, and realize that, again, you're not what happened to you. You're much more than that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I think one of the big things is when we are willing to share that, when we're willing to be vulnerable, what I found is, because from my own personal experience, like going through my divorce, it's when I was open with people and kind of shared, you know, because there's a shame associated with it. There was a huge shame for me, which I would hide and pretend like everything was going great. And when I was willing to kind of own it, like, this is what's happening, and I can put it out there, and it was mm-hmm. difficult, but it really, to me, helps other people to know, oh my God, like, so my stuff isn't that bad. And then they feel like they can share, and it helps them to overcome their shame as well, because mm-hmm. they feel like they're not going to be judged by you.
Interesting. So what do you think, do you think shame comes from comparing yourself outside yourself? Or do you,
I mean, I'm trying to grab, I get the vulnerability, because you always, you know, what resonates with me, that, like I was telling you on the phone, so the vulnerability, the failure, you know, that kind, the shame, do you think that's self-placed on yourself? Money? I mean, or do you think, you know, are you, is it because you're looking at yourself, the reaction of other people? I just to flow, I'm trying to, you know, grasp a little bit so how we can, you know, identify it. Do you think it stems more for an internal thing, or?
I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of both, like comparing ourselves to others, but also just comparing ourselves to the standards of society. You know, if you feel like you're a failure in whatever way, or in your marriage, or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. It's just basically feeling like you're not good enough. And that's what it is. You know, mm-hmm. it's like she kind of compares, like, guilt is I did something bad, where shame is I am bad. You know what I mean? So it's making it, it's like kind of like you're defining yourself by whatever it is that you're feeling mm-hmm. ashamed of.
Well, I know in this article, Go ahead.
No.
In this article, she was talking about shame and like how to work practice to work through it. And the compassionate self-talk, I think we brought that up, but I think that's really wholly important too. You know, our words and what comes from us form our thoughts. Like, it's affirmations, and some people think, oh, you know, does it really work? I'm like, yes, it does. I mean, mm-hmm. A self-belief among ourselves. You joke it's all life coaching, but, you know, you have to give pep talks sometimes
mm-hmm.
to kind of navigate through some of the strong feelings that, you know, may keep us, I don't want to say suppressed, but, you know, not able to step forth in some of these circumstances. So
What are some tools, do you think, to help people, you know, if you're feeling shame?
I think those steps that we talked about, you know, feeling the pain, reaching out to someone, talking to yourself compassionately, and maybe what she kind of said is also own the story. You know, it's just a story, and you can kind of rewrite the ending, which means you can kind of rewrite what you actually learned from that experience that caused the shame for you. You know what I mean? And write it in a different, more positive light so you can look at it from a different perspective. So I think those are like, those steps are really the way through to work through the shame, because it's not going to go away.
Yeah, well,
like you're always,
and I think this is important too, that she wrote, don't bury it. Don't bury it.
Yeah.
Don't bury it. I tell you, you bury
right.
it, it's going to, it will keep resurfacing until you look at it. Emotions too in us, a lot of times, I know people are like, oh, it keeps surfacing. I'm like, it's because you keep ignoring it. It's going to keep surfacing and even louder and louder until you address it. That those emotions and feelings are great GPSs, internal cues to tell you to pay attention to something, to address something, to look at it. You can work with your emotions. They're tools to figure out what's going on. I think a lot of people get overwhelmed and become the state of their emotions, or they frantically, you know, unpleasant emotions, that is part of life experience. You will have unpleasant emotions, and the more that you're able to hold that state and then let it go through and release, the better you become at it, and the more you can recognize these feelings, and the more you can, you know, self-develop. I love what she wrote here, because I do this in coaching. Shame. If you're stuck in a feeling of shame or in that state, I think that's where a lot of people tend to sometimes, you know, need help. Either they're not addressing it or they're stuck in it. You are your own best friend. I've done talks about this, but I tell people, look at your situation. If your unconditional, trustworthy best friend is sitting next to you, what would they say to you? You know, that's very important. Talk to yourself the way I would talk to someone I really love and whom I'm trying to talk and comfort. They say that. So what if you have a hard time doing that, just pretend your best friend there is saying it. And those are the words. Those are the words that you need to embrace. But own it. You know, there's something about owning it. And I when you hear somebody, and I don't know if you guys have ever listened to somebody tell their story and they, you know, wholeheartedly, authentically become vulnerable in their story and share it, oh, my goodness. You know, there's something. You're opening a lot for other folks. And I know in coaching, too, which I'm pretty passionate too, is a lot of times people, it comes to that vulnerability. They do need somebody to go down on that level and be vulnerable with them, you know. So by you opening and sharing, it's just a good for all. I don't know.
Definitely.
My spin.
They were, because vulnerability is, I mean, that's another, you know, to put yourself out there, that it takes courage. And we try to sometimes shield ourselves from being vulnerable. I don't know if it's probably not in that article. I don't know if it's in the other article, but there's, in her book, she talks about what people do to protect themselves from vulnerability, which, you know, some of them are like, like foreboding joy, because I know people do this, like they think that the joy is not going to last, so they kind of prepare themselves for when it's not, but it really doesn't help. So kind of step into the moment, like just embrace the joy that you're living in and don't worry about when it's going to end or, you know, when the situation is going to end, because it's not going to help you when it does.
Be present. So,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Just be, and gratitude, you know, practice gratitude for, instead of saying, oh, you know, this isn't going to last forever, just practice gratitude in terms, you know, where you are right now, appreciate that. And then what you talked about, the numbing, that's what people do oftentimes when they don't want to feel their feelings. then they're going to find other ways to, you know, shopping or drinking or whatever.
I think I brought this up in another show, and I'll share it because it goes a lot. I didn't realize it kind of can correlate with shame, but now that I'm realizing it, shame and resiliency is a big, good match.
Mm-hmm.
I think a strong tool for shame is resiliency. And I think I on my clip, I have a weekly insight about when I was, in high school, I was riding my bike to my friend Ann's house, and I don't know where I wiped out. I remember just crashing into a ditch. And I remember getting up, looking around, you know, Shane was watching me. There's Shane. You know, I was just, like, embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I realized I had a choice. And what I did is I literally got up, brushed myself off, laughed at myself, got back on my bike, and rode to my friend Ann's house. Now, I could have, and that's resiliency. The other option, or the other choice I could have made, is to be succumbed by shame, stay in that ditch and wait for somebody to pull me out, or, you know, been so mortified I just would have rode back home. But I think this is it. It's the courage to realize that, hey, that was an experience that came to me, an opportunity to learn a little bit more about myself. And, you know, and I chose a path to continue. So it is a choice. And resiliency is a huge, huge tool. The more you can bounce things off you, the more look at circumstances as an opportunity to learn, a lot of times that can help you pull through shame.
It's, you know, I just was reading this quote that when you were talking about do you think the shame comes from what people think outside of ourselves, or is it coming from within? And she has this really good quote in her book about it's when we stop caring about what people think, we lose our capacity for connection. When we become defined by what people think, we lose our willingness to be vulnerable. If we dismiss criticism, we lose out on important feedback. But if we subject ourselves to the hatefulness, our spirit gets crushed. It's a tightrope. Shame resilience is the balance bar. And the safety net below is the one or two people in our lives who can help us reality check the criticism and the cynicism. Which I think is a great quote from her book.
I love it, too.
Because
criticism,
it is.
Yes. You know, I've come to a... It's so hard to get criticism, even money, like in our mastermind group. I'm like, it's coming, you know. And but you know why? I remember, I think it was like our website. I think I told you, I was so dreading like the speaking of our website, and I knew it wasn't up to snuff. But I went back, and you know what? It motivated me. You know, it motivated me to look at things differently. And I, instead of listening, like I got uncomfortable, and I, instead of being like, I'm uncomfortable, I said, why am I getting uncomfortable? These are cues that there's something that I need to look at. And I witnessed it, and I used it. I said, okay, what is that indicating to me? You know, and I kind of owned it a bit. So criticism is tough to take. And I tell you, people, when you first get criticism, if it feels yucky, breathe through it. Because our natural response is to react. But breathe through it, breathe through it. And it's a golden opportunity to improve sometimes, or to self-look, and maybe even, or if the criticism is coming, and I think, Bonnie, we even talk about this, like somebody may make a criticism, and I know truly that that doesn't suit me. You know, it actually was an invitation for me to see my value system, too. You know, I don't have to, people can throw out criticism, but listen to what makes you comfortable and uncomfortable. If it's uncomfortable, let's see why. Okay? Is it because I need to improve? Or is it because, hey, no, they have a different view of what I believe is important. So, yeah, a lot of things that can come from that if you, you know. But I think in a nutshell is that some of these feelings, shame, criticism, fear, negativity, I don't know, help me think of, you know, grieving sometimes people, instead of feeling them and working through them, and, you know, they're lower vibrations, so sometimes they don't feel well, but they are something to work through. It's when you deny and bury, folks, it's eventually going to come out. We get blocked.
Yep.
We get, you know.
Yeah, or we're going to get sick.
To work
You're going to get physically sick. Yep.
it keeps, you know, that's where disease state comes from, you know,
mm-hmm.
disease. So it,
yeah.
So yeah, I think, you know, again, we always talk about embracing. It's not the easiest, but it's a practice. You know, it
mm-hmm.
is a practice. The more, I think in this article,
and the more
issue
yeah.
with shame.
Yeah,
go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to say, the more you practice this, the easier it is for the, you'll find that the emotions pass quickly if you just
yep.
allow them.
Yep, yep, yep. And I, someone once told me too, and I'm just going to talk from personal, like even like when developing my business and things, if something didn't go off the way I wanted, you know, let's say if I held a class and no one showed, I could have been shameful and said I failed. But I took a different relationship with shame, and I took a different relationship with failing. I said, okay, it's going to be feedback to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's embracing, and I think possibly, you know, coaching, you know, it's not the easiest. You know, we sometimes people choose to run and hide, but embrace
mm-hmm.
it, embrace it, yeah. Any thoughts,
yeah, because, I mean, yeah.
No, I'm just, everything you guys are saying is everything that's coming to my mind, so.
What did you say, Money? You have another?
No, I was going to say, no, everything, I agree. Like, that's just embrace your feelings and know that it's not, you know, things that happen are not about, it's not always about you. Like, when people don't show up or whatever, it's not because you're a bad person or you're not good enough. It's just that
right.
whatever you might be offering is not what they're looking for. And, you know, you can't take it personally. I think that's a big, I think
yeah.
that's one of the
yeah.
big, you know,
a big thing.
Anyway,
yeah. yeah, big, free through it, self-talk, sharing, owning. It does get easier. I mean, it does, you know, certain, like you said, you know, vulnerability does take time. You know, if you tend not to be, you know, you're closing up, or you choose not, you're afraid to be vulnerable, just notice, see what, you know, what triggers that, what are some of the feelings, you know, how are you feeling when you are doing that? It's all great things to work through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, ladies. I think we touched
right,
on a topic that most people don't talk about, but if you like to rehear this or any of our episodes, you can go on our website at wnylifecoaching.com, and you have access to all our shows. Thank you, Caitlin, the new grad is conquering the world now.
Yeah,
yes,
congratulations. Thank
yep.
you. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, so we'll see everyone next week at this time at noon. Have a great week, guys.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.